So it's thinking about what to preach on, and we call this day traditionally Good Shepherd Sunday. One of the topics that's quite common to preach on is vocations, specifically religious vocations, so people becoming a priest or becoming a religious sister or a brother. And I thought to myself, although I think the things I will say will be helpful for folks who are thinking about that, and hopefully there are people here who are, that's not going to be my main point. Actually, what was on my mind as I was beginning to reflect on this was Jo Maria. It's your last Sunday night Mass here. And thinking of Paul and his travels, and he must have struggled with figuring out, is this God's will? And Jesus is saying, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And yet, how hard it is to know where God is calling us and what is going on. And now my homily is not going to be exactly about you or for you or directed to you, but you were on my mind, thinking to myself, you're leaving here wasn't your idea, and it was no fault of your own. And yet in the midst of that, and then now as a correlation just to everyone else in my own life, how often we're faced with situations in our lives which are not our choosing, and yet we wonder, where is God in the midst of all of this? And the idea of God's will, discerning God's will, might seem simple maybe to some of you, but I think it's one of those topics we, I don't want to say abuse, we misuse, we don't do justice to based on how complicated it really is. And I couldn't claim for a moment as a priest to be able to tell what God's specific will is for any of you, really. And yet, there are some things we can say, we can know with some sense of certainty. And so that's going to be my theme, my topic. Thinking of St. Paul, thinking of Paul in our first reading. The will of God for many people does not always appear to be good at first. It might sound strange, right? Because God is supposed to be loving and kind, and he is. And yet, it doesn't always appear to us to seem to be good at first. Think of St. Paul. St. Paul was probably following the tradition and the path of his family's upbringing. Likewise, many people who don't take the time to discern God's will think that God's will is just whatever they happen to be doing, or whatever they wanted to do since they were 5 years old. And you think of our Western world that, you know, it's studying, working hard, going to school, getting a good job, and maybe getting married, who knows. And, well, of course that's God's will, right? Because that's what everyone wants me to do, or it's everyone expects me to do. And yet, for someone like St. Paul, fitting into the customs and traditions of his society turns out not what God had in store for him. And so, what happened with St. Paul? Well, you remember the story of his conversion, some of you, a bright light shone upon him and knocked him over, blinded him, and he was totally confused and lost. And that is how God really turned his life into another direction, by blinding him and knocking him over. C.S. Lewis, a Christian writer, says something similar in the idea of that, which is, that God oftentimes uses pain to begin to speak God's will to us. He says this. He says, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And as we discern God's will, it's not just pain, but oftentimes it is the beginning of our understanding of God's will is through some sort of pain or tragedy or suffering. And just think of your own lives. For those of you who have a personal faith, it probably began by some problem. I know some of your lives, you shared with me, that the beginning of your life of faith was realizing that there was trouble in your life that you didn't want to ignore anymore. So for many of us, and I would say most of us, if God is speaking to us and we've never heard him before, listened to him, he's probably going to use some sort of pain or tragedy or sorrow in our life to blare into our life in ways that we've always ignored him before. And this is what happened to Paul after that. The light came and knocked him off of, well, he wasn't on a horse, but it doesn't say that. That's usually depicted on a horse. Knocked him to the ground, and the Lord said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" I mean, notice that. The Lord speaks to him, and he didn't even know who it was. And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." That is the beginning of discernment for many of us. God's will, the voice of the shepherd leading to us. Pain lays us low. And we say, "Who is this? Who are you?" The Lord just says, "Follow me into the darkness of where you are in this moment." And for Paul, this begins God's entrance into his life in a new way. It began with a, we may say, a new problem. And so look at your life. Find a moment of discontent. Find a moment of sorrow. Find a moment of struggle. Find a moment of whatever you want to call it. And within that, I promise you, you're going to find God if you enter into the midst of that. God will speak to you. Now, it might be easy for me to say, "Oh, that's all you need to do. Just look at some, find some trouble in your life and pay attention to it, and God will make everything okay." And yet, while it takes faith to begin discernment, to begin hearing God's will, it also takes faith to complete God's will. And so it's not enough just to say, "I trust in you, God, and now I'll go wherever you lead me, everything will be fine." But along the path, every single moment will require hearing that voice and taking another step into the blindness, into the darkness of faith, just like St. Paul did. Faith is the first step, and it is also every other step along the way. And this is what happens also in Paul's life. If you remember what Paul faced, he spoke in his second letter to the Corinthians about the trials of his life after his conversion, after hearing God. He said, this is what he faced: imprisonments and countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I have received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I have been shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I've been adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. That was St. Paul following God. Following God is a dangerous activity. And yet he says this: "Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? But if I must boast, I boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I do not lie." And so Paul, in our first reading, is going into the temple and preaching, or not in the temple, he's in Antioch, and he's preaching, and people are rejecting him. And yet he realizes that it's God leading him. He's been following the voice of God, and so he can say, he can rejoice, filled with the Holy Spirit. Rejoiced, filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And so his hope was not that everything would work out the way he had dreamed as it was, or it would have been when he was a little boy, or when he was a teenager, or a young adult, or wherever he was in his life. His joy in every moment was in heaven, was in eternal life. And so this, I might tell you, is the key to discernment. Am I following God's will? And the answer is, if you're following God's will, it will draw you towards eternity. And so ask yourself, wherever these struggles are in your life, I don't know what they are, I don't know what you have going on, what decision should I make? Where should I go? Should I say something? Should I not? Will that decision, will that choice, will that movement, will that whatever it is, lead you further to eternal life. Now, that might be more complicated than I'm making it seem. But if it's the answer is no, then it's not God's will. It's as simple as that. If the answer is yes, then it may very well be God's will, but it doesn't mean it's going to be all of a sudden easy or bright. It means you're going to have to make one more step into that darkness, as St. Paul talks about. But without eternal life as that final end, then we're going to get lost along the way. And we're going to say, what happened? And where did I go? And who have I become? But if in each moment we keep that eternal life at the center of where we're going, even when the hardships come, and they will, and I know they have for most of you, if not all of you, if you keep eternal life at the forefront of every step into the darkness, then you can rest knowing that you are following the path of God, that you are following God's will. If to the best of our knowledge, you're following eternal life, then keep going. And if not, then run the other way. Jesus says in our gospel, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they shall follow me. And what is the voice of Jesus? The voice of Jesus is not, here's some cotton candy and some soda, and go sit on the couch and hang out for a while. The voice of Jesus is always, come to eternal life. Follow me to eternal life. That's the voice. That's the voice that we follow. Anything else is worthless. As St. Paul would say, it's all rubbish, he says. It's garbage in comparison. And I'll end with a quote here from a Carthusian monk. And the Carthusians were and are monks that live most of their life in silence. And they're a very small group of monks. The only one in the United States is in Vermont. And a lot of times people will test out their vocation there. Am I called to this way of life, this way of silence? And most people go and they leave. It's not for them. And the rose-colored lenses they had as they went into those vocations, they all fade away usually. And the reason why someone would stay in that life tends to change. And similarly with all of our vocations, whether you're married or whether you're single later in life, whether you're a priest, whether you're somewhere else in your life, if you're going to continue on going where you've been going, the reason why you stay probably is different than the reason why you began the journey. And this was advice given to a new Carthusian monk. They call him a postulant, a young man probably in his 20s who entered into the monastery wanting to just abandon himself in this romantic feeling of being with God forever. And the novice master, the one training the younger monks, gave this to the new novices, the new postulants as advice. He said, before entering, the postulant, that is the new monk, dreamed of closing his door upon himself and calling to Jesus the beloved. But he did not dream that the only prayer he would know is simply, Jesus, mercy, Jesus, help, all day long. All his pretensions, all his confidence in self, all his assurance that he was strong enough have gone long ago. I think those words are true for each of us. No matter where we are in our life, no matter what circumstances have been dropped in our lap, whether they're something we've done wrong, whether it's something not of our own fault, no matter where we are, we hear the voice of the Lord not calling us to pleasure or wealth or fame or any of these things, but to eternal life. We follow along the path, shedding away all of those other reasons for going down that path in the first place and holding on to that simple prayer, which is simply, Jesus, mercy. Jesus, help me all day. If we can do that, if we can follow that, things will not be easy, as we know, but we will follow along the path of God. And we will have that great fruit of the Holy Spirit then, that Paul had, that Jesus offers to us, which is peace. And peace is greater than any security that we could ever want for. In the end, it's the peace of eternal life.